This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على من بعث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته So, Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, "أشد الناس بلاء الأنبياء فالأمثل فالأمثل." That the people that were tested the most are the prophets. They were the ones who were tested the most. Then those most like them, and then those most like them. When we look at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's life, we find story after story after story of the hardships that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had to go through. Now sometimes we have to go through a hardship. Maybe we've, you know, maybe somebody, their spouse has died. Or maybe their child has died. Or maybe they've lost a whole lot of money, for example. Or, you know, something or other, some kind of test or trial, and they're really finding it difficult to deal with. But Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was sent down as guidance for mankind. He was sent down as mercy to the world. And if you look at the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's life, there's almost not a test except that you find that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has already gone through it. Something in that nature. Something close to what a test that you might be going through today. So for example, we start even the fact when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was born, he was immediately faced with a test. And what is that test? That he was born as an orphan child. He was born without a father. His father had died before he was even born, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And you can see that this child is growing up and not knowing who his father is. You can imagine all of these other children, they talk about, "Oh, my father this, my father that, my father this, my father that." And yet the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was unable to speak about his own father because his father had died. You find that even as a young child, at the age of 6, his mother passed away. So think about a child of the age of 6 years old. How much we may pity that child who is growing up and at 6 years old, he loses or she loses his or her mother. It's a very difficult test to go through. The mother, the one who nurtures, the one who brings up, the one who teaches, the first, you know, the closest person, the mother. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loses his mother at the age of 6. You find that another test that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through with regards to his parents. You find that they both died as non-Muslim. As once in the battle, one of the battles, a companion came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked about his father, this companion's father. And he said, "Where is my father?" The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "In the hellfire." Because he'd been killed as a non-Muslim, as a mushrik in the battle. So this sahabi turned around and he was going away, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called him back. He said, "Abi wa abuka finnar," my father and your father are in the hellfire. You ask any person whose father or whose mother is a non-Muslim and ask them how they feel and find out what du'as that they make in private at the night time before Fajr. All the time their du'as are for their parents. Not just parents, but anyone, children, anybody who's not Muslim. You'll find when a person accepts Islam, you ask them, how does it feel? and they will shed tears when speaking about this topic. And on top of that, that is when they're alive. You can still make dua for them. Oh Allah, guide them. Oh Allah, bring them to Islam. And so on and so forth. But what about if they die as non-Muslims? Knowing that even as a messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was prohibited by Allah jalla wa ala to make dua for his parents. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The tests that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through. You look at even when he started calling people to Islam, and his very family, his tribes, his close friends, they rejected him. On the one hand, they called him Al-Amin, Al-Sadiq, the trustworthy, the truthful one. But that was with regards to the dunya. But as for the akhirah, about his prophethood, about Allah, about his aqidah, about iman, they rejected him, calling him a liar, a madman, a soothsayer, a magician. And this is a great, great lesson for every single Muslim who is involved in da'wah. Look how the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was rejected and belied by the people. Not just distant people, but people from his own kith and kin. People who were close to him. Some were his close friends before Islam. They rejected this religion. And this hurt the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah tells us that we know that your heart is, you know, your chest is suppressed, if you like, by what they say. Because of what they say. Rejecting him as a false person, as a false prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when we are involved in da'wah and people speak against us, or when we see on the television this person's an extremist or he's a terrorist or he's this or he's that, this is not something new. Someone far greater, someone far better went through this test. Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. So we should not give up. We should not ask, why me? We should support people who are faced by these tests, knowing that they are only following the sunnah of none other than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. When you see the way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the way he made dua for his people, even though that they rejected him, even though what they called him and what they tried to physically torture him. We know, for example, the very famous story where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in Mecca and he is praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the mushrikun of Mecca, he made a dare. He made a dare. He said, listen, which of you has the courage? Look how he says it. Which of you has the courage to go out and get a carcass, a dead animal, and throw it on Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So one of them, he went out and he went to the outskirts of Mecca and he came back and he grabbed this carcass and threw it on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fell over. And these people, they laughed. So much so, they laughed. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lost his children, and some of them when they were born, like Ibrahim. Some of them when they became older, like Qasim. It was said that he was able to ride. Al-Qasim was able to ride a horse before he died. And his daughters, in fact, every single one of his children passed away before the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, except for Fatima radiallahu anha. Another test that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through. All of his children, apart from one, passes away before he dies. In him is a lesson for us. In him is a lesson. In fact, on the subject of children, only one of his wives, Khadija radiallahu anha conceived for him, had children. And the other wives did not have children. Maymuna had children, she was a concubine. She had one child who died, Ibrahim. But his other wives, none of them gave birth. So again, for people who are going, are trying to have children, but Allah has not decreed it yet, this is a lesson for them. It's a great lesson, it's a test. That somebody before me has had this test. And often we think that when somebody is going through a test, sometimes we think they must have done something wrong. They must have done something wrong. Maybe this is a punishment from Allah. It might be. It may be a punishment from Allah. But it also could be a test and not a punishment. Because somebody before you, much greater, much more noble, with the most pious person to have ever walked on this planet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, went through many of these tests. Not only did only one wife conceive, and Maymuna as well, and not only did all his children apart from Fatima die, but not only did that happen, but also he did not have a son who then went on to have children to carry his name, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All his progeny are through Fatima radiallahu anha. When you look at poverty, sometimes we go through hardship. Some of us may not have enough money to make ends meet. When you look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Aisha radiallahu anha, she said that a whole month would go by and not a single fire has been lit up in our home, in our homes. And so she was asked, "Oh Aisha, what did you survive on? What did you eat?" She replied, "Dates and water." The two black things, dates and water. That's all she survived on. That's all they survived on. In one particular year, which was called the year of famine or the year of hardship, Aam al-Huzn, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Muslims in general, they were boycotted. And the only food the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was able to eat at some portion during this time was the little food that Bilal radiallahu anhu could store under his armpit. Under his armpit! Because there was a boycott, an embargo. When you look at some of the Muslims around the world and they are faced with embargoes and boycotts, this is not something new. This has happened before. It happened to the best of creation, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And imagine, for days on end, he could not eat or drink except for that small little bit of food that Bilal could store under his armpit and sneak it through. So when you go through such tests, brothers and sisters, it is not for us to stamp our feet and punch the air and get frustrated and get upset and get angry and say, "Why me? How comes it always happens to me? How comes it always happens to me?" No. We should take a step back and think to ourselves, this could be a test or a punishment. If it is a test, then I need to be patient. I need to be patient because somebody much greater than me, somebody much closer to Allah, has gone through a similar test or some tests that are worse than this. Or if it is a punishment, then you have to make tawbah to Allah. You repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those same deeds end up turning over and becoming good deeds on your scales. In terms of injury, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for the sake of Allah, he went through many injuries. He was physically harmed. We all know the very famous story of Taif, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam walks to Taif. And when he finally arrives in Taif, he doesn't leave a single door except that he knocks on this door. To do what? To ask for a cup of tea? No. For only one purpose. To ask these people to come back to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was no personal gain in this. It was purely for the sake of Allah jalla wa ala. But he left not a single door except that he knocked on this door. And what was he greeted with? He was greeted by the children of the people of Ta'if. Not even the youth, not even the adults, but the children. To increase in the humiliation. The children of the people of Ta'if, they came after the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and stoned him until he was chased out of the city of Ta'if and his sandals were sticking to him. Why were they sticking to his feet? Because of the blood that was pouring down the blessed body of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was chased out. For what reason? For the dunya? No. For no other reason except to call people to the worship of one God. And even in such a scenario, how did he respond? Did he get frustrated? Did he want revenge? How would we respond in such a situation, in such a scenario? How did the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam respond? We all know the story. When Jibreel comes to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Assalamu alayka ya Rasulullah, wa alaykum assalam ya Jibreel." He says, "I have come with the angel who is in charge of the mountains, and Allah has ordered him that all you have to do is say yes, and this angel will lift this mountain and crush the people of Ta'if in this mountain." Ta'if is on top of a mountain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered this angel. All you have to do is say yes. And that's it. These people will be destroyed because of what they did to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was not a personal revenge. It was for the sake of Allah. But yet, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "No, O Jibreel. Because even though these people did not accept Islam, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I pray to Allah, I invoke Him, that He guides their children to Islam." Allahu Akbar. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ." We have not sent you except as a mercy to the world. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was tested in every form and fashion. There's not a single test that you can possibly think of except that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through that hardship or something of that nature, something similar. If it's to do with children, then he's lost both his adult children, his adolescent children and his newborns. If it's to do with his wife, Khadija, died. He's lost his wife. And very often, what do we say? That it is easier for a woman to deal with the death of her husband than it is for a man to deal with the death of his wife. Very difficult. And yet, the Prophet ﷺ went through this test. You think of every single test. You think about your honor. You think about your honor. And how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through one of the greatest of tests that anybody could possibly bear. And that is that his wife was slandered. Slandered by such a great lie, a concocted lie, that perhaps the heavens want to rip asunder because of this lie. When the hypocrite Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul accused the wife of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Aisha radiallahu anha, of one of the most heinous of crimes, radiallahu ta'ala anha. And for one full month, Allah jalla wa ala tested him. Allah did not reveal her innocence in the Quran for one full month. Can you imagine what Aisha was going through, what Abu Bakr, her father, was going through, what her mother was going through, radiallahu anhum ajma'een? Can you imagine what her husband, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was going through during this period of one full month, where people are spreading these rumors, these lies, slanderous comments? Think about the pain But yet the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faced this. What is the lesson? What is the lesson for us? My dear brothers and sisters, the lesson for us is when you go through a test and a trial, you don't turn around and say, why me? Why me? Because you are born in this world in order to face trials. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Allah is the one who created death and life to test which of you is best in conduct. When you go through a calamity, when you go through a test, you don't give up. You don't sell your deen. You don't give up in Allah, in the mercy of Allah. Because there are four characteristics that you must always remember. Let me ask you, who is more merciful, you or Allah? Answer me. Allah. Who is capable of changing the situation? Is Allah capable, yes or no? Yes. Who is more wise, you or Allah? Allah. Who has more knowledge, you or Allah? So we admit that Allah has more mercy than us. Once the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba, they were looking at some of the mushrikun who had been captured, the prisoners of war after a battle. And these prisoners, among them there was a woman, and she was frantically running up and down as if she was searching for something. And she's looking and searching and searching, and she's getting really upset. She's getting, you know, she's crying. Until eventually, she sees a small child and picks up this child and hugs the child. And then starts to feed this child, suckle this child. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was watching, he said to his companions, radiallahu anhum ajma'een, he said, do you think that this woman, she'd lost her child and now she found this child? Do you think that she would throw her child into a fire? They said, no, O Messenger of Allah. She would never do that if that was under her control. She would never ever throw this child into a fire. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates to throw one of you into this fire more than this woman would throw her child into that fire. Allahu Akbar. Allah is the most merciful. Allah would hate to put someone in the hellfire. May Allah protect us from that. But yet, we know that Allah is the most merciful. We know that He has full knowledge of the situation that we're going through. He has full knowledge of the problem that we're facing right now. The calamity, the trial, the test, the hardship. Allah knows. And He has more mercy for us than we have for ourselves. And He's all wise. He has far more wisdom than we have. And He's able to change the situation if He wanted to. If we know these four characteristics of Allah, then how is it possible for us to be ungrateful with regards to the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So when we are involved in da'wah and people speak against us, or when we see on the television, this person's an extremist or he's a terrorist or he's this or he's that, this is not something new. Someone far greater, someone far better went through this test. Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. So we should not give up. We should not ask, why me? We should support people who are faced by these tests, knowing that they are only following the sunnah of none other than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. When you see the way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the way he made dua for his people, even though that they rejected him, even though what they called him and what they tried to physically torture him. We know, for example, the very famous story where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in Mecca, and he is praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the mushrikun of Mecca, he made a dare. He made a dare. He said, listen, which of you has the courage? Look how he says it. Which of you has the courage to go out and get a carcass, a dead animal, and throw it on Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So one of them, he went out and he went to the outskirts of Mecca and he came back and he grabbed this carcass and threw it on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fell over. And these people, they laughed. So much so, they laughed. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lost his children, and some of them when they were born, like Ibrahim. Some of them when they became older, like Qasim. It was said that he was able to ride. Al-Qasim was able to ride a horse before he died. And his daughters, in fact, every single one of his children passed away before the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, except for Fatima radiallahu anha. Another test that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through. All of his children, apart from one, passes away before he dies. In him is a lesson for us. In him is a lesson. In fact, on the subject of children, only one of his wives, Khadija radiallahu anha, conceived for him, had children. And the other wives did not have children. Maymuna had children, she was a concubine. She had one child who died, Ibrahim. But his other wives, none of them gave birth. So again, for people who are going, are trying to have children, but Allah has not decreed it yet, this is a lesson for them. It's a great lesson, it's a test, that somebody before me has had this test. And often we think that when somebody is going through a test, sometimes we think they must have done something wrong. They must have done something wrong. Maybe this is a punishment from Allah. It might be. It may be a punishment from Allah. But it also could be a test and not a punishment. Because somebody before you, much greater, much more noble, with the most pious person to have ever walked on this planet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, went through many of these tests. Not only did only one wife conceive, and Maymuna as well. And not only did all his children apart from Fatima die, but not only did that happen, but also he did not have a son who then went on to have children to carry his name, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All his progeny are through Fatima radiallahu anha. When you look at poverty, sometimes we go through hardship. Some of us may not have enough money to make ends meet. When you look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Aisha radiallahu anha, she said that a whole month would go by and not a single fire has been lit up in our home, in our homes. And so she was asked, "Oh Aisha, what did you survive on? What did you eat?" She replied, "Dates and water." The two black things, dates and water. That's all she survived on. That's all they survived on. In one particular year, which was called the year of famine or the year of hardship, Aam al-Huzn, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Muslims in general, they were boycotted. And the only food the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was able to eat at some portion during this time was the little food that Bilal radiallahu anhu could store under his armpit. Under his armpit! Because there was a boycott, an embargo. When you look at some of the Muslims around the world and they are faced with embargoes and boycotts, this is not something new. This has happened before. It happened to the best of creation, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And imagine, for days on end, he could not eat or drink except for that small little bit of food that Bilal could store under his armpit and sneak it through. So when you go through such tests, brothers and sisters, it is not for us to stamp our feet and punch the air and get frustrated and get upset and get angry and say, why me? How comes it always happens to me? How comes it always happens to me? No. We should take a step back and think to ourselves, this could be a test or a punishment. If it is a test, then I need to be patient. I need to be patient because somebody much greater than me, somebody much closer to Allah, has gone through a similar test or some tests that are worse than this. Or if it is a punishment, then you have to make tawbah to Allah. You repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those same deeds end up turning over and becoming good deeds on your scales. In terms of injury, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for the sake of Allah, he went through many injuries. He was physically harmed. We all know the very famous story of Taif, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam walks to Taif. And when he finally arrives in Taif, he doesn't leave a single door except that he knocks on this door. To do what? To ask for a cup of tea? No. For only one purpose. To ask these people to come back to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was no personal gain in this. It was purely for the sake of Allah jalla wa ala. But he left not a single door except that he knocked on this door. And what was he greeted with? He was greeted by the children of the people of Taif. Not even the youth, not even the adults, but the children. To increase in the humiliation, the children of the people of Taif, they came after the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and stoned him until he was chased out of the city of Taif and his sandals were sticking to him. Why were they sticking to his feet? Because of the blood that was pouring down the blessed body of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was chased out. For what reason? For the dunya? No. For no other reason except to call people to the worship of one God. And even in such a scenario, how did he respond? Did he get frustrated? Did he want revenge? How would we respond in such a situation, in such a scenario? How did the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam respond? We all know the story. When Jibreel comes to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Assalamu alayka ya Rasulullah, wa alaykum assalam ya Jibreel." He says, "I have come with the angel who is in charge of the mountains, and Allah has ordered him that all you have to do is say yes, and this angel will lift this mountain and crush the people of Taif in this mountain." Taif is on top of a mountain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered this angel, all you have to do is say yes. And that's it. These people will be destroyed because of what they did to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was not a personal revenge. It was for the sake of Allah. But yet, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "No, O Jibreel. Because even though these people did not accept Islam, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I pray to Allah, I invoke Him, that He guides their children to Islam." Allahu Akbar. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ." We have not sent you except as a mercy to the world. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was tested in every form and fashion. There's not a single test that you can possibly think of except that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through that hardship or something of that nature, something similar. If it's to do with children, then he's lost both his adult children, his adolescent children, and his newborns. If it's to do with, so many, his wife, Khadija, died. He's lost his wife. And very often, what do we say? that it is easier for a woman to deal with the death of her husband than it is for a man to deal with the death of his wife. Very difficult. And yet, the Prophet ﷺ went through this test. You think of every single test. You think about your honor. You think about your honor. And how the Prophet ﷺ went through one of the greatest of tests that anybody could possibly bear. And that is that his wife was slandered. Slandered by such a great lie, a concocted lie, that perhaps the heavens want to rip asunder because of this lie. When the hypocrite Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul accused the wife of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Aisha radiallahu anha, of one of the most heinous of crimes, radiallahu ta'ala anha. And for one full month, Allah Jalla wa Ala tested him. Allah did not reveal her innocence in the Quran for one full month. Can you imagine what Aisha was going through? What Abu Bakr, her father, was going through? What her mother was going through, radiallahu anhum ajma'een? Can you imagine what her husband, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was going through during this period of one full month? Where people are spreading these rumors, these lies, slanderous comments. Think about the pain. But yet the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam faced this. What is the lesson? What is the lesson for us? My dear brothers and sisters, the lesson for us is when you go through a test and a trial, you don't turn around and say, why me? Why me? Because you are born in this world in order to face trials. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Allah is the one who created death and life to test which of you is best in conduct. When you go through a calamity, when you go through a test, you don't give up. You don't sell your deen. You don't give up in Allah, in the mercy of Allah. Because there are four characteristics that you must always remember. Let me ask you, who is more merciful, you or Allah? Answer me. Allah. Who is capable of changing the situation? Is Allah capable, yes or no? Yes. Who is more wise, you or Allah? Allah. Who has more knowledge, you or Allah? So we admit that Allah has more mercy than us. Once the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba, they were looking at some of the mushrikun who had been captured, the prisoners of war, after a battle. And these prisoners, among them there was a woman. And she was frantically running up and down as if she was searching for something. And she's looking and searching and searching, and she's getting really upset. She's getting, you know, she's crying. Until eventually she sees a small child and picks up this child and hugs the child. And then starts to feed this child, suckle this child. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was watching, he said to his companions, radiallahu anhum ajma'een, said, do you think that this woman, she'd lost her child and now she found this child, do you think that she would throw her child into a fire? They said, no, O Messenger of Allah. She would never do that if that was under her control. She would never ever throw this child into a fire. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates to throw one of you into this fire more than this woman would throw her child into that fire. Allahu Akbar. Allah is the most merciful. Allah would hate to put someone in the hellfire. May Allah protect us from that. But yet, We know that Allah is the most merciful. We know that He has full knowledge of the situation that we're going through. He has full knowledge of the problem that we're facing right now. The calamity, the trial, the test, the hardship. Allah knows. And He has more mercy for us than we have for ourselves. And He's all wise. He has far more wisdom than we have. And He's able to change the situation if He wanted to. If we know these four characteristics of Allah, then how is it possible for us to be ungrateful with regards to the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can we possibly be ungrateful? This life is a test. We have to realize that this life, we will be tested. And this is not the real life. The real life is the akhirah, is the hereafter. And how you do in this test depends on where you end up. فَرِيقٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَفَرِيقٌ فِي السَّعِيرِ. A party in paradise and a party in the hellfire. May Allah protect us from the latter. So, when we go through a test, there are two ways of dealing with these tests. To get the happiness that we pursue. To get that happiness that we pursue, there are two ways to deal with this test. Number one is called sabr, patience. And what is patience? How many times have you spoken to somebody who's going through a difficult time, a difficult situation, and they spend an hour on the phone with you complaining? And this happened, and that happened, and this happened, and that happened, and you know, and then he did this to me, and she did this, and you know, why me, and blah, 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 blah. And then at the end of the 1 hour conversation, she says, what? But I'm not complaining, I'm being patient. La ilaha illallah. Brother, sister, that is not patience. Okay? That is not patience. Patience is holding the tongue. Patience is having sabr in your heart, understanding that this comes from Allah. Imagine a person who's been told that, let's say they have gangrene or something, may Allah protect us from this, and they are told that they have only, it's a theoretical, maybe silly example, but they only have 1 month to live. They'll be upset, yes or no? Yes, I've got 1 month to live. Then imagine, after 2 weeks, you only have 2 weeks left to live. The doctor comes and says, listen, I have found a cure for you. What is that cure? I have to chop off your arm. I have to chop off your arm. Let me ask you a question. Will he be happy or will he be sad? Which one? Who says happy? Who says sad? No one? I would say he's going to be happy and sad. Of course he's going to be sad that he's losing his arm, yes? He's going to feel pain. When you know, he's going to feel the pain, right? After the surgery, doesn't matter what drugs you take, you're going to feel a bit of pain there. Or maybe a lot of pain. Yes or no? Right. But at the same time, he's overwhelmingly happy. Why? Because his life has been saved. This is how we deal and look at tests. Of course, you're going to cry when you go through hardship. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam cried when his son Ibrahim died. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cried. He shed tears. It's natural to feel upset. It's natural to get upset. It's natural to cry. This does not nullify sabr. But wailing and going overboard and not understanding that this is what Allah has decreed, and more importantly, not understanding that there is something better for me with Allah in this world and the next. When a person, he understands this, this is sabr. This is sabr. Holding the tongue. Realizing that there is some good in this to come. Realizing it's from Allah. And just understanding that, you know, there's nothing I can do about this. I must turn to Allah, make dua, making good out of the situation. But dear brothers and sisters, if you want to go to a higher level, if you want to be in a situation where that hardship brings you not just a little bit of reward, not just a lot of reward, but a huge amount, a magnanimous amount of reward, then there is a higher level than sabr. And this level is called rida, pleasure with the decree of Allah. Being pleased. Like that guy with gangrene. He is pleased that they have found this cure, and even if it means he's going to lose one hand or one arm, he is pleased because at least his life is saved. When we go through tests and trials, may Allah protect us, we should never ask for tests. When we go through these trials and tests, brothers and sisters, we must think to ourselves, there is definitely something better for us in the Akhirah, but not just in the Akhirah, in this world as well. And if you are pleased with the knowledge, the wisdom, the mercy and the ability of Allah, then you should therefore be pleased with what Allah Jalla wa Ala has decreed. Because if you're upset at something that's gone wrong, then in reality, and you can be a natural form of upset, you can be upset to a degree, but not to a huge amount, not over, just pondering over it, contemplating over it, that's all that occupies your mind. It turns you away from the dhikr of Allah. No. But you can be upset, but you are overwhelmingly happy because of what good there is to come, the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for you. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from tests that we cannot bear. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make easy for us those tests that we do go through in this world. And to make us not just of those who are patient with the decree of Allah, but rather those who are pleased and gain pleasure of Allah. We have pleasure of Allah's decree and we gain Allah's pleasure by going through these tests and being patient. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين